Well, good morning again. Let's look at God's Word together. And I wouldn't be a missionary if I didn't mention Matthew 28. So Matthew 28 is what we're going to look at this morning, the Great Commission. So let's read God's Word together. We're going to read Matthew chapter 28 and verses 16 to 20. And it says this, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" Amen. Let's just pause for a word of prayer and ask the Lord to help us this morning. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the privilege we have to open your word this morning. Lord, we pray for the many people groups, more than 800 people groups in the world who do not have any of your words in their language. We pray, Lord, that you would send people to them to learn their languages and to translate your word and to share the gospel with them. Lord, for ourselves, we thank you for this privilege we have to look at your word. We pray that you would speak through your Holy Spirit, as your word says. Lord, speak through our hearts, we pray. Help me, Lord, to speak the words that you would have me to say this morning. And Lord, we pray we might leave this place encouraged and yet challenged in our walk with you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So the gospel spells go. Okay, so those of you who are good at linguistics, we can all see that the gospel spells go. And lots of times there's a discussion about the question, should I go to the mission field? Am I called to the mission field? And that's another topic, but we can certainly all know this morning, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, it is God's will for us to go, to be involved in this amazing task that God has given to the church. And this task, it comes out of a heart of love. It's the Lord Jesus who invites us to become involved in his greatest work on the earth. That's why he came and died upon the cross. Why did God create everything in the beginning? Why did he tell Adam and Eve to multiply, fill the earth? Because it's his will that the earth is filled with people who worship and praise God as they ought. And of course, our world is in a mess now. But you know what? God's plan has not changed. He is going to fulfill his promise. And one day there will be an acknowledgement by all people that Jesus is Lord. But we want to see them acknowledge that willingly during their lifetimes. Well, what is the gospel? We think about this word gospel. Well, on the next slide, whoops, we see that the gospel is good news. And I got some bad news yesterday. I come from Liverpool. I've had speech therapy, in case you're not sure about the accent. That's a joke. Sorry. Okay, now... And my parents aren't Scousers, so it didn't get it too strong. Like, anyway, so but good news. I got some bad news yesterday. So I'm a Liverpool supporter, and you probably heard Leeds. There's a guy at the college. One of my colleagues is a Leeds fan, and he's going to give me a lot of stick tomorrow morning. I know he's going to be very excited about that. So I got some bad news. Now I could have got some good news about the game, but for those of you who don't know, Liverpool they lost 2-1. Okay, so that's good news for Leeds fans, right? Now, that's news. But if I turn around to you now and I say, there was a game yesterday, and it was good news for Leeds fans, and they won 2-1, that's not news, because I just told you it. You see, news is only news if you haven't heard it before. True? Okay? So it's news because you haven't heard it before. So the news that we've got, this amazing message of the gospel, has to go to all the world, but it especially has to go to people who've never heard it before. And as you sit here this morning, there are still hundreds of people groups in the world, very hard places to reach. They have never yet once heard the gospel message. Not once. And it's our job as a church, isn't it, to see that they can hear this amazing message. Now, news is also good news only if you get there in time to hear it. So in the picture there, there's a man in prison. He's under a death sentence. He's going to be executed. And the emperor or the governor gives him a pardon and says, this man's going to be pardoned. And the governor gives it into the hand of a man to take it to the jailer. But this guy he gives it to is He's feeling a bit tired, and he decides to have a bit of a rest and a sleep. And the next morning, he gets up and thinks, oh, I better go and do this, you know, task I've been given. And he arrives at the jail, and he gives it to the jailer. But the problem was the execution happened in the morning. So it was good news, right? It was good news. He'd been pardoned, but didn't get to him in time. So there's no benefit. Now, the gospel is the most amazing good news in the world. Through Christ, God provides a way by which anybody can be saved and be forgiven of all their sin. That's good news. But friends, if it doesn't get to people in time, it will not do them any good. And that's our job. So in Jesus' 40 days before he went back into heaven, there's one thing that we see him talk about the gospel in the Gospels. Before he went back to heaven, he kept talking about the Great Commission. He kept telling the disciples, guys, this is your job. This is our job now on the earth, is to be sharing this message. There's a fellow here called Oswald J. Smith. You may have read some of his books, a guy here from Canada. And he said this: why should anyone hear the gospel twice before everyone has heard it once? Now, my personal option is let's tell everyone as many times as we can, because I don't know about you, but I heard the gospel multiple times until I finally trusted Christ, and that's the graciousness and kindness of God. But it's a good point, isn't it? There's some people in the world waiting for their opportunity to hear this message for the very first time. Well, the Great Commission is given in the Bible, but it's given quite a lot of times. Now, years ago, when I was at Bible college, I was told to prepare a survey of the Bible and see where God talks about missions. Well, actually, God talks about missions from the very beginning, because he told Adam and Eve to multiply and fulfill the earth, because he wanted people to worship and praise him. Well, actually, the Great Commission occurs five times in the New Testament. So five times before Jesus went back into heaven, he told his disciples, this is what you are to do. But each time he spoke to them, it was slightly different. Okay, so he repeated himself, but he used different words and different times. So here in Matthew's account, he tells us what to do. In Mark's account, he says who to go to. In Luke, he says, well, this what to say. This is the gospel. In John, he says, how are we to do this? And finally, Acts tells us where. The only question that isn't up there is when, because this is our job until Jesus returns. Okay, so there's no when in there. Now, the first one we look at here is in Matthew 28. So in Matthew 28, we see that Jesus is in Galilee. Okay, that's why I read from verse 16. So you'll see in the other passages, Jesus is in Jerusalem. So this is a different occasion to the other one. So Jesus is in Galilee, and that's where he says to go. Now, there's four commands here that Jesus gives. He gives a command to go, to make disciples, to baptize those who believe, and to teach them to follow all the teachings that are in the New Testament. So there they are, four commands. So what are we to do? Well, first of all, we need to go, because they're over there. They're not here. So we've got to leave where we are, and we've got to go to them. When we go, we need to make disciples. So not just people who become a Christian, but then how can they grow in the Lord? We need to disciple them. It says they're all nations. That's all the ethnos, or the ethnic groups. And in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 8, we see an extension of that. It says people from every tribe and tongue and language and nation, they're all going to be in heaven. Praising God. So all the peoples of the world, 7,300 languages. So I don't know how many languages you know, but there's quite a few that you don't know and that I don't know that are still out there. And then it says to baptize those who believe, those who hear the message of the gospel and say, yes, Jesus died for me on the cross and rose again. Those people are encouraged to come and to be baptized as a public testimony of something that's already happened to them. They've already trusted in Christ. They're already saved. But baptism is a public witness to people that this is the God who I have trusted in. And then to teach them to follow all the teachings in the New Testament. And that's why Bible translation is so essential. You will not have a strong church unless you have a Bible-reading church. That's true everywhere in the world. A strong church is a Bible-reading church. Individuals, not just on Sunday, reading God's Word, but throughout the week, they're reading God's Word. He's talking to them. God shows himself through the Word. He talks to us as we meet with him day by day. And if they're going to be a strong church, they need to be taught through the New Testament as well. So that's what we are to do. Now, the next one is in Mark's Gospel, at the end of Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, and that tells us who we are to go to. And in verse 14, it says that Jesus appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table. So this is the very first Resurrection Sunday in the evening. is when Jesus said this. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And so if we weren't sure about the first one, the Matthew, this one's a bit easier. Now, there's some parts of the Bible that are hard to understand. This isn't one of them, right? Go, that's not too difficult of a word to expound upon, okay? So I'm not going to take any time. It just says go. That's what we're to do, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's to proclaim. You don't have to stand on the street and preach. You can proclaim the gospel just talking to somebody one-to-one. You're sharing the gospel with them. And Jesus says to do it to every person. Now, is there anybody in your life who's awkward? And don't look at the person next to you, okay? Please don't do that, okay? But, you know, there's people in all of our lives who are difficult people, right? When I went to Papua New Guinea, I have a cousin, and she's not a Christian, and she just tore into me, telling me what a stupid thing I was doing. And those people are happy as they are, and your children will be dumb and stupid, and they will get no education, and what do you think you're doing? She's really, really angry with me. And very hard to talk to her because she just didn't understand. You're quite a difficult person. But to pray for people, okay, Jesus says everyone should hear the gospel. So do you have an awkward person at work? Do you have an awkward relative like I have? Do you have a neighbor that's a bit difficult? Do you know, the Bible says God wants them to hear the gospel. Now, here's the good news. You aren't responsible for how they respond. Okay? That's not our job. Paul says in Romans 1:16, the gospel message is the power of God to salvation, to save people. That's where the power is. When I was a young person, that really encouraged me because I was like, well, what if they say this and what if they say that? And I don't know how to answer all their questions. That's not my worry. That's not my worry. I can share my testimony, my story of how I became a Christian and share the gospel as simply as I can. And the message is the power of God to save people. It really is amazing. And we've seen that firsthand as the gospel's gone to these villages one after another to see people converted, not in the tens or twenties, but sometimes hundreds at a time. That's an incredible thing that demonstrates it's the power of the word. In fact, one day we were in the second village doing an outreach, and we were going through the gospel, and I'd shown the guys how to do it. They were doing the teaching, and I was just supporting them. And one day, one of the believers came to me and he said, Daniel, you know, we realize now the Holy Spirit was really with you when you taught us. I was saying, oh, that's quite good. He said, yeah, because if he hadn't been, we never would have understood anything you said. So, well, thank you for that. Thank you for that compliment. But you know what? It is true, isn't it? You see, we realize, as weak as we are, we don't have all the answers to everybody's questions. We don't know why all these things happen in the world. But we're not responsible to do that. We just share the gospel message as simply, as clearly as we can. Maybe if it's difficult for you, give them something to read. Like, for example, I have here with me a little leaflet written by Roger Carswell, the evangelist. It's called The Key to Life. And it's just a story based on the woman at the well explains the gospel very simply. And I always try and keep a few of those with me in case I'm traveling, like I am later today. And, you know, maybe get into a conversation. So even if I can't, even if I'm not very good at the words myself, maybe I can get somebody who is good at it and just say, well, read that and find out there for yourself. So here's my challenge for you today, something to take away with you. What about thinking of three people that you know, not Christians, and then pray for them this year? Each day in the morning, just a quick prayer to God. God, please save this person, and this person. You know what? You will begin to start changing your day, especially if it's somebody at work or a neighbor or somebody that you see fairly regularly. You're going to start looking for an opportunity to say something. And you know what? God's going to give it to you. It's amazing. When we get specific with God and we say, God, what about these three? Our life perspective begins to change. Let me just encourage you to do that this year. And if God willing, I ever came back in the future, I'd like to ask you. So, well, what happened in that year? You know, was there any opportunities with those three people? And, of course, there's opportunities this week to invite somebody to come. I mean, what's the worst somebody can do if you invite them to a meeting? They can say no. I was talking with a fellow called Garth Fraser. Maybe some of you know Garth. And he was telling me about a fellow who he knows. This guy kept inviting his friend to a gospel meeting. And his friend kept saying no. He kept finding excuses not to go. But eventually, just to shut him up, he thought, I'm going to go to a meeting. He went to a meeting, and through that, he got saved. So what's the worst thing that somebody can say to you is no? right? So just keep going, praying for them, looking for that opportunity. Okay, moving on. Luke's gospel, that tells us the what of the message. What is the gospel? And just for the sake of time, I'll just keep this fairly short. Jesus teaches through the Old Testament. He says to them the things that were written in the law of Moses and the prophets. This is in Luke 24, verses 44 to 48. He says, look, this is all written about me. The Old Testament, he said, is testifying of me. And then he said, verse 46, it is written, it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And so Luke here, again, this is same as the Mark timing, but it's a different saying, isn't it? It's not the same as the last one. So it's another occasion Jesus is saying, I want you to go, and this is what you're to tell people. Tell them that Jesus has come, gone to the cross. On the cross, he died for our sins. We deserve death. One lie will keep us out of heaven forever. If you were to die tonight, where would you go? Where would you go? You know, if we can't say with assurance, I know I'm going to go to heaven, then we need to make sure we've trusted in Christ. Christ is the only way to heaven. We believe that on the cross he died for our sins, and we say to God, thank you so much. He rose again. And when we believe that, God wipes away our sins. He gives us forgiveness of sins. That's what remission means, forgiveness of sins. Isn't that amazing? Do you know that the mental institutions of the world are full of people who are dealing with all kinds of issues? Okay, some are not their fault, but others are there because of decisions and things they've done in their life, and they regret them, and they would love somebody to tell them, you are forgiven. But you know what? The only person who can really forgive us is God, because all sin ultimately is against God. Yes, it's against other people, but it's against God, and it's God is the one to whom you have to give an account, and I have to give an account one day. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. And you can't escape that. If you walk out of here and a car runs you over, okay, and you stand before God, the only way that you will get into heaven is if you've trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. So please make sure you do that before you leave the place today. So that's the message that we've got, forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there was one here that was really hard for me to find, okay? The hardest one is here in John. In John chapter 20 and verses 21 and 22, Jesus said this, peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he said this, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus gave them a token at that point of the Holy Spirit. And of course, 10 days later, the Holy Spirit came there on them in Acts chapter 2. So there it is. He said, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. Well, how did the Father send the Son? Did Jesus stay in heaven? No. When the Father sent the Son, he sent him into the world. And this is what we find on the mission field. This is why, even though we know truth here, it's about being there with people, living with people. That's how they hear the gospel, because they see it in our lives. Before we can ever share the gospel, they're watching us. They're looking at us. They're looking at our lives. One of the things they noticed is, they told us, he said, the problem is our children are naughty, right? They're badly behaved, but your children are all well behaved. And the reason is because as we moved in, our kids were, well, 2.5. We were kind of going through the terrible twos at that point, so we weren't sure where they got that idea from. But our co-workers' children were small as well. But by and large, we would say to our children, come here, and first-time obedience, they would come. And the people were like, whoa, what is that? You see that? He said, come. And, you know, they couldn't believe it. And so they actually told us, they said, your children are different to ours, right? Our children are just disobedient. Your children, well, then we were living in Papua New Guinea, and we had our son, and he was the most strong-willed and stubborn of all of our children. And that was a great testament to the village, because we were teaching in Ephesians at the time, and we were telling them, you have to be consistent with your children. You have to put, you know, tell them where the things are. And of course, we had a little boy, and I would say to him, come, and he would run off in front of, and the people would all look at me. So what are you going to do now? You know, is it real? So we didn't like it, because it was in some ways humiliating, but it was really good, because it showed them, we have to do the same as we're telling them. We have to give boundaries to our children, And we have to say, if you go across the boundary, there's a punishment, discipline, but, you know, and eventually they learn to obey and listen. So anyway, that was a, so, but living with people is so different. So incarnation, that's what God did. God sent Jesus down from heaven to live amongst us, so that we could understand what God is like. Now, it's a pretty bad illustration, but if you'll bear with me, you know, people talk about, you know, ants and how could you communicate with ants? Well, you know, in one sense, if you became an ant and you lived among the ants, you could communicate with them. Now, I'm sorry, that's a poor illustration, but in a much greater way, God, to communicate his greatness and majesty, became a baby that grew up, learned language. I know now Jesus understands what it's like to learn language. And then because he did. In fact, Jesus spoke Greek and Aramaic and Hebrew as well. We see him quoting, he seems sometimes quoting the Greek and speaking Aramaic from the cross. So we know he knew three languages. So he knows what it's like. So Jesus knows every experience of our lives because he was incarnate. Now, here's a fellow on the board. You probably heard of Hudson Taylor. Hudson Taylor had a very radical idea when he went to China as a missionary. Missionaries were living on the coast and weren't really making a great deal of impact in the vast majority of China. And Hudson Taylor came up with a radical idea of wearing the clothes that the people wore and eating the food that the people ate and being with the people and living with the people that he was going to reach. And do you know what? That was a radical thought at the time. But through that, China inland mission, because they didn't stay on the coast, they went inland, through that became Overseas Missionary Fellowship, OMF, today. And do you know what? The Chinese church is probably the biggest evangelical church in the world. 50 million is just an estimate. Nobody knows how many because, of course, publicly it's suppressed. But isn't that incredible? How did that happen? Because some people were willing to go there and live with the people, be with them. And wherever your house is, that's your mission field, friends. Your house is your mission field. Your street is your mission field. God has put you there so that you can share the gospel with the people around you. And then the last one here is Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Again, very well-known passage. Let's just go there for a moment. And it says, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, tells us where to go. It says there, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and to the end of the earth. And the first thing we see here is that you shall receive power. Whew, there we go again. We don't go by ourselves. Right? When you have that feeling, you've had this feeling, right? You're sitting next to somebody, could be a friend, could be a relative, could be a neighbor, could be somebody you don't even know, and you're thinking, oh, there's an opportunity to share the gospel, right? And what's your stomach doing? It's doing knots, it's running around. Why is that? Look, I've done this for years and years and years and years, and I don't find it easy. Sometimes we go with our students and we do an open air and a book table in Grimsby. And, you know, I'm doing talks, explain the gospel in the open air. I've done this many, many times before. And then every single time, as it gets towards the time on a Saturday for the open air, I'm thinking, oh, I don't really want to go. or when I'm talking to somebody, and the topic comes around about the gospel, I'm thinking, I don't really want to do this. I don't know if that encourages you. But Paul said the same. Paul said, pray for me that I may declare the gospel boldly. So we're not, Paul's in the same group as you and I. He didn't feel, oh, this is wonderful all the time. Sometimes he struggled. So it's okay if you feel bad. But what we can do in that moment, we can say, God, help me. And if the Holy Spirit is with us, if we're a Christian, the Holy Spirit is with us, we're asking God to do what his word says he's willing to do. So do you think God's going to say no when you're asking him for help? You're saying, God, please help me to find the right word to say this person. God's going to say no. No, he's going to say yes. He's just waiting for us to ask, but sometimes we just don't ask. We go off in our own confidence. So you shall receive power. There it is. The power is there available to us. And then he says, you're to be witnesses. Now, what does a witness do? In court, they get somebody in as a witness. What does the witness do? They tell what they've seen, right? Now, is the witness there to try and persuade the judge or the jury? No, the witness goes there and they just say, this is what I see. Do you remember the man who was born blind? He comes as a witness before the Sanhedrin, or the court there, and they're saying, pray, you know, give God praise, tell us what happened. He says, I don't know what happened. He says, I was blind, and now I see. And they said, oh, this man can't be, this man Jesus, he can't be from God because da 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 da. And they were, the guy said, well, I don't know what's going on, but I was blind and now I see, and you can't explain that. Do you know what? There's no atheist on the world can explain your testimony. They can't. They can't explain your testimony. They can't explain how you've become a Christian. To an atheist, people become Christians because they're born going to church. That's the only reason why people believe in God is they're born going to church. Right? That's their logic. So I often like to point out to people that, well, I became a Christian when I was 11 years old. I grew up in the Church of England, and I heard about Jesus. I heard about God. I kind of thought that Jesus died for the sins of the world, but I never understood he died for me. And so even though my parents taught me all this stuff, I wasn't a Christian. So you can't be born a Christian. Every Christian is somebody who's trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ for themselves and is saved. That's a miracle. So whatever your story is, even if you were 4 or 5 or 105, you know, whatever your story, it's a miracle. And an atheist can't explain it. Another thing is we have sometimes a guy comes to teach at the college who's a Jehovah's Witness. Okay, what do you do if a Jehovah's Witness comes to the door? Oh, well, you know, they're really difficult to handle. Listen. Our friend who's a converted Jehovah's Witness said this. Please share your testimony. Right? Just share your testimony. You may not be able to answer all their questions as they go through their Greek gymnastics and jump all over the Bible and say this and that. But you can at least say, well, I don't know about that. But what I do know is this is how I became a Christian. Do you know what? If we did that, as Jehovah's Witnesses came to our doors across the world, across the land, they would keep meeting these evangelical Christians who keep sharing the gospel. And you surely begin to think, that's different, because they became a Jehovah's Witness just by joining a group. They don't convert, they don't have a relationship with God, but you and I do. So let's do that. Let's try and do that in our lives. Now, as we get there, we see that we're to start where we are. So Jerusalem is where you're to start. So the disciples started in Jerusalem, then they went to Judea, then they went to Samaria, and then they went to the ends of the earth. So where should you start sharing the gospel? Right here, right? Monkstown, wherever your street is, wherever your home is, this is your Jerusalem. So you don't become a missionary by getting on a plane. All of that does is it makes you poorer at the other end. Okay? So if we're not sharing the gospel here, then when we get off the plane at the other end, we won't be sharing the gospel over there either. But let's just be sharing it where we are. So that's your Jerusalem. And again, as been mentioned, there's a couple of opportunities this week. Maybe there's somebody you could get on the phone to today and say, hey, there's a thing at the church this week. Would you like to come along? What's the worst that can happen? They say no. They say, okay, strike that, get them next time. Okay, next one comes, phone them again. Eventually they'll be ashamed. They'll be so embarrassed, they'll come. And that might be the opportunity for them to be saved. And then it says Judea. So Judea was the same country. Okay, so let's go to the same country. So I was involved in beach missions. And so I think it's a great organization. In the summer, there's lots of organizations that go and do evangelistic things. And there's something for everybody. Whatever age group you are, there's something that you could be involved with that's sharing the gospel on a wider level across the UK. And then there's Samaria. Now, I don't know who the Monkstown folks don't like. Okay, I'm not sure who that is. Amongst the Inupang, we had a town, a village. It was called it was in the back of our village, and those people there, they spoke differently. They spoke differently there, and so the people said, they're a bit odd, a bit strange. Now I won't ask this morning where the odd places are around here. One of the young people yesterday said Ballymena, and I thought that was very unfair. So I don't know wherever it is, but every culture, every people group has other groups within the group they don't like. Okay? But Jesus says, I want them to hear as well. I want them to hear as well. There can be people in society, people like, for example, homeless people, or people who've made some really bad choices in their lives, and as a result of that, they're in a mess. But you know what? Jesus wants all people to hear the gospel. Notice he says and. He doesn't say or. So it's not Jerusalem or, if you like, Judea or, if you like, Samaria or to the ends of the earth. He says and. Each of us is responsible for all of those places. So you're responsible to go to the ends of the earth. Now, what would happen if everybody here went to the ends of the earth tomorrow? Well, first of all, the pastor would have an interesting job later in the week. Now, is that what we're saying? Well, I would privately like to say yes, but I have to keep to God's word. What it says is, friends, you can be involved in going to the ends of the earth. In fact, you can go to the ends of the earth today. How can you do that? How can you be involved in God's plan to take the gospel to the ends of the earth today? By praying. You can go on your knees, right? We can all go on our knees and we can pray for people at the ends of the earth. People have never heard it. Or pray for missionaries. Get prayer letters. Tons of different ways that we can get involved now. Lots of mission agencies, they have newsletters, prayer letters. Go online, go onto the internet, find something to pray about and pray for people at the ends of the earth that they might hear the gospel. So the job's not finished yet. Still, we need to go. So bringing it all together as a summary, we've got a message about how we are to go. We've got to go to all, we've got to teach all, we've got to make disciples of all people. Who are we to go to? Every person. What do we preach? We preach Jesus died on the cross and rose again. He died for our sins and rose again. That's the core message that we want to bring to people. And if you believe that message, God will forgive all of your sins. You'll have eternal life. You'll have the Holy Spirit. He'll empower you to walk with him day by day. And one day when you leave this world, you'll be welcomed into the presence of God for all eternity. How do we go to them? Jesus was sent down from heaven. We are going to have to go and live amongst people. So the people that you're living with now, those are the ones to whom God has sent you. And I'm not responsible for them. Okay? God's not going to ask me about all the people that you know. Okay? God's going to ask you about the people that you know. And me about the people that I know. But this is our job collectively. And where do we go? Start where we are, and we finish when we get to the ends of the earth. There's no when, because it's our life's longing until the Lord Jesus comes back. He said in Luke 19, do business until I come. That parable he told. Do business until I come. And then just a final challenge here. This is a picture. This is a Bible translation. I get these statistics from Wycliffe Bible Translators. They keep track of all the translation projects in the world. And what they're saying is that big one in purple at the bottom, 1,892, that's the number of languages in the world today that have nothing. They have no word of God. Could there be believers? It's possible. Is there a strong church? Absolutely not. How can I be sure there is not a strong church amongst those 1,800 people groups? Because the Bible is essential for us to grow as Christians. It's essential for truth. No Bible, you have the Dark Ages. Okay? And we've seen that in history. We all need the Word of God to follow God together. So as we think about this, we see how God is loving the world. He's concerned for the world, not just once, not just twice, not just three times or four times, but five times before Jesus went back into heaven, he said, go. Famous last words, right? The gospel starts with go. And how in you can I be involved for that today? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your concern for the peoples of this world, for our neighbors and our friends. Lord, you know how we find it hard sometimes to share the gospel. We pray you'd help us. Help us to find ways that we can do that. And Lord, I pray for anyone here this morning who has not yet trusted in you. Lord, help them to see Christ as the only Savior and the Savior for them. Thank you, Lord, that you died for us. And Lord, thank you for your word to us this morning. We pray these things in Jesus' name.